Live from Owings Mills, another Purple Report by WNST correspondent Luke Jones.
John Harbaugh met with the media for a final look back at Saturday night's win over Pittsburgh and a look ahead to Sunday's divisional round clash with Buffalo.
Okay, appreciate everybody being here. Good to see you. Getting ready for a big game. Big divisional game against a very tough opponent who we know well. We're looking forward to it. We're very deep into the preparations for that. And we're looking forward to the week and looking forward to the game. What questions do you have?
And John, obviously you're familiar with this team after playing them earlier here. But what, I mean, just in watching film of them just recently, what kind of just stands out to you as for the Bills in general?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a big question because so many things stand out. They're such a good team. All three phases are playing at a very high level. I think the biggest thing that stands out is how well coached they are, how well tied together they are. They play complementary football. All three phases play off of each other. They have a defined personality in every phase and as a team. They're very physical. They play very hard. They're cohesive. They're on the same page. I think offensively they're very coordinated in terms of blocking schemes and timing of routes and pass protections and how it's all put together. You know, the quarterback obviously is playing at high level. Josh Allen is a great player, and they're well built around him. You know, they did a good job of building the offense around him, and they have a lot of complementary pieces. I mean, all their receivers, wide receivers and tight ends and backs, and the backs also serve as receivers, but they're all very talented and skilled catchers. They all understand the passing game really well. They run hard. They protect the football. They're all good ball carriers, whether it's handed to them or after the catch. So big physical offensive line. Defensively, very active, very, very tied together defense. Back end to the second level to the front. Pass rush, run defense, defensive backs showing up in the run game, linebackers playing downhill in the gaps in the run game, pop punching out in zone coverage as well, getting their depth, breaking on the ball, tackling, just all the things that you would expect from a well-coached team like they are. So that's the type of challenge that we're facing.
John, in a general sense, when you play a team back in week four, I mean, it was like 3.5 months ago, how much weight do you put in that in terms of reviewing that and prep compared to what they've done in, say, like their last 5 or 6 games?
Well, you do both. I mean, it's both. I'd say it's I don't know what the percentage of it is, but you're involved. That's definitely in your breakdown. You kind of go back and you pick the games. You watch all the games, and you even go back to past years. You know, that's part of your breakdown as well. And then you choose the games that you want to put in there and that you want to kind of emphasize and that you think apply to the game coming up. So there's games we throw out, too, just based on what we see. And it might be some recent games that we don't use just because we don't think they apply. Their last game of this regular season we're not using. We've seen it. We know what's in it, but it's not applying to our game plan. So we use all of that.
I'm sure you'll have a better sense later in the week, but are you confident that Zay Flowers will be able to play, or is that still very much up in the air?
Yeah, that's in we'll see mode. He's working hard to get back, and we'll see toward the end of the week if he's practicing, and he could play without practicing for sure if he feels healthy enough and if it's safe for him.
John, kind of piggybacking on Jameson's question, I mean, the excitement to see this matchup seemed immediate. I mean, you had Tony Romo kind of almost salivating on air talking about it. Is there a part of you that can step outside of it for a second and just say, as someone who loves football, this is a matchup that everybody should want to see?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, Charles. I mean, you kind of feel grateful to be a part of it. I mean, it's a privilege. You know, it's a privilege to be a part of a game like this. You know, this is a big game. It's a divisional game. I mean, these divisional games are really hard to win. You know, you look back over the years. I mean, because you're playing the best teams. I mean, there's the four best teams in the AFC, the four best teams in the NFC are still alive. And you know, to get to the Super Bowl, if you want to take a step out, you've got to win two games now. Whoever gets the Super Bowl's got to win two games against the best in their conference. That's tough, really tough. And so to be a part of that, just in that sense, is really amazing. And then you get a chance to play a team like the Bills, who've been perennially in that group, just super talented, well-coached type of a team, on that stage, you know, in their place. You know, it's going to be cold, it's going to be blustery, all that. I can picture John Facenda coming down, you know, from the heavens and narrating the preview to the game. So it's great. Yeah, we're excited about it.
John, you mentioned you look at the Week 4 game and at more recent games. You guys won that Week 4 game big. What worked well for you in that game as you go back and look at it?
Well, I mean, you saw the game. You were there, Bo. You know it worked well. We first play was a good play. That was a good play for us. But, it's just a football game, and I'm sure that you just look at it from more of a scientific kind of a football perspective in terms of what did they see, what are they going to try to stop, what are they going to play against us, what are they going to run against us, where are the matchups now that weren't there then or that are different or the same, all those kind of little things, because just, watching the game gives you some insight into what they were accomplishing. They had a lot of good plays against us too, so it's more that as opposed to the outcome. I mean, you don't really look at the outcome. The outcome's kind of irrelevant. It's more just the predictive aspect of it in terms of what you think you might get going forward.
John, a lot of it was trying to stop you guys' offense. A lot of it is trying to stop that second and third play with Lamar. Similar with Buffalo's offense, how important will it be to kind of stop some of those long-winded plays?
Long-winded plays, I like that. The long-winded play, that's a good way to say it, The two-play quarterback, I might add, is Todd. Todd needs to acknowledge the fact that he got that from me, just for the record. I know he likes to take credit for that, but, that just so you know where that came from.
Is that evidence of you saying that?
Well, just ask him. He'll tell you. I mean, everybody knows. Everybody that's in the inside knows. So I got an opportunity to get that out there finally, because I don't think he's acknowledged that yet, I've noticed. You see, he liked it so much, he kind of took credit for it. My brother has that same, thing about him. So where were we? The long-winded quarterback. The long-winded plays. It's critically important. I mean, that's the challenge. Because the first play they run is really good too. The on-time in rhythm play, runner pass, is really challenging. Then the second play or the third play, in the case of Josh or Lamar, becomes the next challenge. And so everybody's got their part in the first part of the play, in the pursuit or the plaster or the keep the ball in front or the tackle or the angle part of the play, whatever it might be. Continue the rush, make a smart rush in terms of how you tackle, how you push a guy out of bounds. All those things are a big part of it.
John, the drone incident on Saturday was the second time that that's happened here. Can you walk us through when you learned that it was a drone, and what does that do to you as a coach when you learn the game stops and to throw it?
Well, I think we were at the line of scrimmage, and all of a sudden the referees, you could tell they got buzzed in their ear, and they stepped up and they stopped the play. Then we have one of the referees that's not doing the game is with the coaches, so you get a little quicker information. Normally it would be the side judge would come over and tell you, but now he's right there to tell you, hey, they're going to stop play. There's a drone. He just told me that. They're looking at a drone. And so I just told our play callers that, that's what we're doing. And really at that point, you just wait. I mean, it's not really anything you can do about it. It becomes like a commercial timeout just a little bit. And you continue to kind of talk about your strategy. It really is what you do. It's just an opportunity to kind of make sure that we're thinking the same way within the game. That's about it. We don't think too much about it as a drone situation per se.
John, Lamar in the second quarter, Lamar got kneed in the back pretty hard. Do you anticipate him that limiting his participation at all throughout the week as far as practice time?
Doesn't look that way from what I've been told.
Coach, how would you say these two teams have evolved since the earlier matchup this year? I mean, is there anything that you can discern between the difference from the first time you met them to coming up?
Yeah, I mean, I think across the board, both teams are better. In every way, really. I mean, I don't think either team has taken a step back in any way. Both teams are better across the board. I think both teams are kind of, defined their personalities a little bit more over the course of the seasons, and kind of what you'd expect at this point.
John, although Tom, he doesn't have another 13-sack season, what are some of the ways that he's improved outside of the stats, and how big of a game can this be just for him and the other interior linemen with such big offensive linemen in their matchups?
Well, Kyle is, obviously the sacks are kind of speak for themselves, but it's not just that. There's so many situations where there's kind of the unsung aspects of a play that a lot of our guys have done, and he's been the same guy. Sometimes he'll be in a position where a quarterback can't escape, and someone else will wrap around and get the sack, or squeezing on a run and forcing a run back to a linebacker, or bouncing out to a DB like he's supposed to. I just think he's playing good football, you know, and I do think it's kind of reflective of the whole defense, really. I mean, everybody's just really focusing on doing their job in a real physical way and a real disciplined way. That's what everybody's really trying to do. So, and Kyle's a great leader that way, too. He leads. You know, he talks to the guys about that, and a lot of experience that way, like in the playoffs. So he's been talking to the guys about playing good discipline, high effort football.
Yeah, the offensive line has obviously been pretty critical to the success. And if you just, you know, think back to like beginning of the season to now, obviously you guys have found that, they've found their footing. What has stood out to you about, you know, a guy like Daniel Falele playing, you know, new position, and you know, Patrick McCary doing what he's been able to do throughout the course of the year without, you know, missing a beat or missing any time?
Right. Well, I think the offensive line, just like every position, but it's kind of there's a lot of individual stories in there. The five individual starters, and there's others too that in the depth part of it. And if you get into that room, you kind of see that each guy's got his own story. But probably as a whole, it's probably just steady improvement. You know, they've been through a lot. You know, you look back at the Joe D situation, and then you know the fact that it was three new guys and all that kind of stuff, and you know, some of the doubts and all that kind of stuff that they dealt with. I really feel good and proud of them, but really we don't think about it too much right now, Brian. It's just more about preparing for this game and the challenge that this defense presents our O-line, just like every position.
I know a lot of people, when you talk about Josh Allen and Lamar, they'll talk about that 2018 draft. Do you think when these two high-profile players, do you think because of that they'll kind of always be linked in that regard?
Yeah, probably. You know, they came out in the same draft, highly successful. They'll probably always be linked, yeah.
John, obviously the Lamar touchdown and Justice Hill at the end of the half was such a highlight play. But right before that, Isaiah Likely had, I think it was a 19-yard catch, had a big stiff arm, didn't get out of bounds, and he takes the ball and sprints all the way to the hash, and you guys were able to clock it really quickly. I mean, how impressive, understanding it's a playoff game, that situational awareness, you know, and knowing how important the time was then on that pass play.
So impressive. I mean, there were so many situational aspects of that game that our guys really did a good job of that you may notice and you may not. And you notice, and that's a great point. I mean, that's one of the things that we work on really hard. We work on it all the time. But he takes that ball right back to the hash, gets on the ground. Everybody sprints up. Lamar makes sure everybody's set first. Everybody's legal. Ball gets snapped. Now we have, you know, is 11 seconds the difference? There was 11 seconds left, I think, with the play, as opposed to 9 or 8 or something like that. That's the difference, right? So to your point, then you think about just the fact that we were able to be in that situation. I think Tylan have the conversion on the – was that that drive? Was it that drive? I think it was where we hit – he had to cut the ball on the sideline, right? If we don't – and we're at third or second forever on that. You know, so Lamar and you know, with the clock running down, there's only about 28 seconds left at that point, and he pushes forward for the first down. I mean, all those things give you a chance – you know, at the end, to have a great play like that happen.
When you talk about those two-play quarterbacks,
did you feel like those guys existed when you first started coaching in the league, or is that something that you guys have had to account for more and more over the years?
They existed, yes, but you have to account for them more and more. Exactly right. It seems like most guys now are kind of like that. I mean, like a guy like Bo Nix comes into the league this year, and he's that kind of a guy. And Justin Herbert's that kind of a guy. I mean, They're kind of everywhere now. It seems like that's more the mold now. It used to be breaking the mold. Now it seems like it's becoming the mold.
Oh,
well, yeah, we're used to it, man. We've been talking about plaster and extended plays in Baltimore for a long time. You're right, with Big Ben.
You guys missed Teron Johnson and Matt Milano in that Week 4 matchup. How important are they to how Buffalo wants to defend the ball with, you know, lighter personnel?
Yeah, well, that's they play that nickel pretty much against everything except when you put the real big people out there, and those guys play so well together. I mean, they're three experienced players, and you know, Teron Johnson, he's a DB, but he plays like a linebacker in there. I mean, he gets in the box and he plays either Sam or the Will nickel, you know, backer based on your formations, just like a linebacker would. And he's 190 pounds, or he shows up, he's out there in the apex, and you know, boom, he's in the B gap before you blink an eye, you know, playing the run. So does a great job, and those are great players.
John, you opted against bringing Deontay Hardy back off IR. Do you anticipate he'll be available this week, or is it still you're not sure yet?
Well, I'm not sure yet. You know, he'd been gone for quite a while, and there were, he had the physical situation, had some personal things he was dealing with. But he's working hard in practice last week, and you just got to make sure a guy's ready, you know, he's in shape and mentally ready. I mean, he tells me, in his mind, he's ready. I can tell you that. He wants to play, and we'll just have to see. But Steven is a guy that we also have confidence in. And, you know, I know he had, you know, he had a couple balls gone on the ground last week. This is windy, lefty. He was bombing the ball for sure. And, you know, with the one on the very first one, you know, just I don't know if he lost track of where he was at, but we don't want to be backing up inside the 8-yard line and catching those kind of punts. Just let that – give it a chance to go in the end zone, right? And so he'd like to have that one back. And then he decided to not field to cut two of the other ones and turned out okay for us the way they bounced. So, but he's done well. He's an experienced guy, and he'll do well back there too. So we're confident. Or if Tylan was back there, we'd be confident with Tylan too. Those guys all do a good job.
John, it seems like defensively offenses are – I don't know whether it's the schematic things you guys are doing or whether they're just making a concerted effort, but it seems like they're trying to attack Brandon Stevens. How do you feel like he's handled it, and why does it seem like the ball seems to go that way?
Yeah, I mean, some people, they decide to do what they do, you know, for whatever reason they do, and it's definitely been challenging. I mean, he's getting a lot of targets, and, you know, you get a lot of targets, you're going to have more completions for sure. That's just the way it goes, but you also make more plays. He's made a real good number of plays as well. And also, you know, there's an opportunity there, too, for us a little bit, because if we get the sense that an offense is targeting, you know, a particular part of the field or a particular player, you know, in this sense, you know, he plays right corner, so that's where they go. In nickel, now he's playing dime backer. It's a little different when we put dime out there on third down. But, okay, now we got an idea where you're going to kind of target. We can roll our coverage that way. We can put the strength of our coverage over there, too. So it's kind of a two-way street that way.
Coach, there was a moment the other night where you had to quiet the fans down. They were getting a little too loud. I don't know if you'll have that luxury in Buffalo, but what about going up and dealing with the Bills Mafia and their fan base, and whether or not a lot of Ravens fans may make the trip?
Yeah, no doubt. I doubt the Bills crowd is going to listen to me. What I might do is try to quiet them down while their offense is out there. Think they'd respond if I went like this? Think they'd start screaming? Go the other way, you know? Kind of play the opposite game? You think that'd work?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, why not?
And by scoring a few touchdowns.
A few touchdowns to quiet him down. That would be, yeah, that'd be ideal. That'd be ideal. I thought you meant by me walking out there like I did and quieting him down. No.
What do you kind of think about the ethos of your guys' defensive line? It seems like a lot of guys who just love to work out and be physically strong and impose their will on game day. I mean, I know as a guy who, you know, works out as vigorously as you do, maybe you kind of respond to that, but what do you kind of think about just the way this group has been constructed and how they kind of put themselves in positions to succeed?
What do I think about the defensive line, how hard they train to be strong and physically strong? I'm all for it. I'm all about it. I love it. We do have a bunch of guys that work hard, and I think our guys, I think you see it. You see it in December and January especially. But we do believe in training and being ready to. It's a physical sport. I mean, the game is, it's not just won and lost in the trenches, but it's won and lost with trench warfare. You know, a corner's got to shed a wide receiver and make a tackle on a sweep. You got to be strong to do that. You know, it's a strong person's game. And it's a strong person's game physically, and it's a strong person's game physically, emotionally, spiritually. You got to be strong to play football. And that's why I have so much respect. I think you guys cover the sport because you have so much respect for the game and for the people who play it. It's just a great sport, and it's so tough and demanding, and it's just a test of wills. And I love our guys. Our guys are strong-minded. They're physically strong. They're spiritually strong. They care about one another. That's why they're in position to play a game like this at this time of year, up in Buffalo against a great team, a great city of winners up there in Buffalo. And they are. You know, they got a great coach. They got a great organization. And they got a bunch of tough players, too. So that's, I think, why probably everybody's so excited about this game.
Do you factor in officiating crews and any tendencies with their penalty calls or anything in your game plan or in technique coaching throughout the week? Is that at all a factor?
We try to coach just technique to be winning technique, which means clean technique. You know, people do coach the push the envelope sometimes. I mean, I think that's a strategy that people might use. I've heard and I've tried in the past to understand the officiating crews and how they might call a game and all. And I found it just to be a red herring. You know, I just think it's a waste of time in the end. You need to focus on just doing things well the right way, and I think the officials do a great job. Carl Cheffer is going to be doing the game. He's got a great crew. I expect them to call a great game. They do. It's a really great crew. Carl's a common sense guy, always calls a good game. And you know, if he calls something, there's a really high chance it's true. You committed the penalty, and you just got to go on and play the next play and try to do it the right way.
All right. Thanks,
Coach. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.